Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. I said last week that 43 years ago, yesterday, two naive teenagers got together and married. And it's been a wonderful 43 years. Appreciate again that we could celebrate our anniversary. I wanted to take my wife out to the ladies' retreat they had, or the marriage retreat up in Niagara Falls, and give you a night at Niagara Falls and preaching on the home. But who'd have thunk they'd have done something like that on the first day of hunting season? So a man's got to set his priorities here. And so I'll be out hunting.
That's
right. First thing we asked Pastor Schoonover if he'd do our wedding, and he said, it isn't during hunting season, is it? Praise the Lord. So we're still stuck with that little thing around our neck. Being buried in November, it tangles pretty close with hunting season. So we are in the book of Luke today. We are in November, and this is two things. It's coming on Veterans Day, and it's coming on Thanksgiving. And I decided again that I could preach a whole month on just giving thanks, on being a thankful people. And I want to go ahead and kick that off here in this message. So let's look at the Word of God, Luke chapter 17. We're appreciative of our veterans. I'll have a Veterans Day message here for us someday again about being a soldier and a good soldier. And there's lots of themes that we could follow with that. But let's go ahead and look at our ability to give thanks. And this here has been kind of personal for me. And I want to, again, see if I can capture this message. Although I'm like Dave, I left my notes home in my notebook. But that's okay. I think I could capture, again, a lot of what I had jotted down in an outline. So let's go ahead and look at the Word of God. Luke chapter 17, a very familiar portion. In fact, sometimes portions of Scripture can be so familiar that we missed some details. And so let's go ahead and read this account of the 10 lepers, the one who came back to give thanks. It's recorded in Luke chapter 17. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's Holy Writ, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, praise you again and thank you. As we again look at this, I pray again that you'd help us to examine our thankfulness, our praise, our glory to God. As we again enter now into the month of November, when we have a national day of Thanksgiving, as the harvest is past, and again we're relaxing now in the winter throes, and pray, Father, again that you would just cause that we could be a thankful people, and teach us even something here out of these 10 man that we'd learn to be better thankful, more thankful, and better at our thankfulness. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. You can tell, I hope, it was intended anyway, that I tried to read that in such a way that I put some emphasis on some things that sometimes we've overlooked. And I just want to point out a few of them in case, again, we didn't catch all the emphasis there. And the one is, again, that this one who is going to Jerusalem is, of course, Jesus. I try to figure out again on the time frame of the chronology of Christ. Each trip that he made to Jerusalem, it was around a feast day. And I was unable again to, because of this is the only recording of this, again, is to figure out exactly where it was. But I'm going to guess it was like in the middle again of his 3.5 year ministry. There's his first trip again that's very interesting. There's his last trip that's crucial and interesting to study. And this seems to be neither one of those, but he is heading into Jerusalem. There was a time, if you remember, in John chapter 4, when he was headed to Jerusalem, and he said this, I must needs go through Samaria. Remember that? And so that was not this time, but here he was again. And notice what it says there in our first verse, passed through the midst of Samaria. Samaria is a very interesting place with very interesting people. And we got to acknowledge here, even in this reading, that it was the Samaritan who came back to him. And I've got to acknowledge here as we preach this, that we are in Good Samaritan Baptist Church again, that takes our name off of that very likelihood that we are strangers in a land. And boy, again, notice here that the Samaritans were the strangers in the land. And so I'd like to get to, for us to consider a few things about this Samaritan and all the other 9 also that were healed. Notice also that all of them were healed. And that notice that they were not healed when Jesus spoke. They weren't? No, they weren't. When were they healed? When they wept. Okay. They weren't healed when Jesus spoke. Instead, they were healed when they obeyed what Jesus said. And there was this one, again, who didn't do a complete obedience. And we want to look at that, because he turned around and came back, even though he was told to go on to Jerusalem. And so let's look at all of these lepers, and I'm going to just label them. I wanted to name them all, but I thought that'd be pretty presumptuous of me. So we'll just call them Leper 1 and Leper 2. Leper 1 and Leper 2 were originally from Jerusalem, let's say. And let's say again that they were very staunch and strict into Judaism. And again, they knew the law and they knew the temple, and it wasn't a strange place to them. But here they had fallen ill and they were now struck in leprosy, and they were in this leper colony that appears to have had 10 other men in this leper colony. And as Jesus walked by again, they saw him and they knew who he was. I like that part. And again, they asked him. Now, normally when a leper cries out, he's going to say, unclean, unclean. But here, notice when they cried out to Jesus, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus then responds when he saw them, go show yourself unto the priest. And then the Bible says, and it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And so here's these two, and they listened to his commands and go to the priest. And that wasn't foreign to them. They knew exactly what that was. They were probably familiar with the law back in Leviticus 13, I think it is, that tells all the cleansing that you have to do to be declared unclean again and to enter back into society through the Mosaic law. And so they took off, and they were steadfastly headed back to Jerusalem, just like Jesus said. And someplace there was a realization that my leprosy's gone. Again, they undoubtedly, and now we say that there was only one of them that gave thanks. I don't think that's true. And so let's understand that all of them, I'm sure, when they realized that their leprosy were gone, I'm sure that they were thankful people. a thankful group of 10 here. And I'm sure that they praised the Lord. And I think the first two, leper 1 and 2, they praised the Lord all the way back to Jerusalem. And they were doing exactly what Jesus said. They were going to the temple. And there they would have to remain there for about 2 weeks before they would be declared cleansed. And so, let's say there was two more of these men, leper 3 and 4. Leper 3 and 4, again, as they're headed off, they turned and head to Jerusalem and said, "Whoa, look, I'm cleansed. It's gone. My leprosy is healed." They had been outcast from society. They'd been outcast from their home. They'd been outcast from their village. And they had to live in this separate colony. And now, again, they were healed. And they wanted to obey the words of Jesus and go to Jerusalem, but they thought, you know, our village and our home and our family is just on the way to Jerusalem. Let's just swing over there and we'll praise the Lord. We'll take the whole family and we'll all go down to Jerusalem together and obey the words of Christ. So they headed off in perhaps a different direction. Then there's two more lepers. Let's call them 5 and 6. Am I counting right? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 and 6, okay. 5 and 6, they started headed down to Jerusalem, even though perhaps Jerusalem was foreign to them. It could be they hadn't been there in years and years, again, not just because of the leprosy, because of their apathy. And so again, lepers 5 and 6, they started to head to Jerusalem and they saw, quote, "I'm healed," again with the whole lot of them. And they saw their healing and they saw their cleansing and they knew this miracle had taken place. They were rejoicing and they were praising God and they were ever so thankful. But they said, you know, we don't live towards Jerusalem. We live out here towards Mount Carmel. And rather than just head down to Jerusalem right now, let's just go on home first. And so they took off and they went on towards their home, going in yet another direction. They wanted to be reunited with family. Thought there's been a change in their life. Things had been different. They again wanted to give God the glory, but they wanted to do it at home. And so they went on home. 7 and 8. 7 and 8, let's say they had never really been too strong in going to Jerusalem, never really worshiped there. And they turned and followed the command of Jesus, and they headed towards Jerusalem. But as soon as they saw they were cleansed, they thought, whoa, we really don't need to go to Jerusalem. We've already been cleansed. We know we're cleansed. All of them were cleansed. And so they took off and they headed on home with no intention of ever going back to Jerusalem and being declared. They don't need that. They again have all everything they need over here. And so they're going to go on back home to their own village. There's a priest there and he can look at them perhaps. And so they set off and headed off to their own village without again acknowledging that they had to go to Jerusalem and be declared cleansed. But hey, they knew they was cleansed. They were rejoicing in the miracle. They were praising God just the same. Now we have again lepers 9 and 10. And 9 and 10, let's say, were both Samaritans. And the Samaritans would not be welcomed at the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, they wouldn't even be allowed in. And so the two of them were talking and saying, you know, we're supposed to go down to Jerusalem. That's what Jesus said to do. But why should we? They're not going to let us in. They're not going to again let us go through the ritual nor declare us clean. And so why should we pursue that and go down? We're just strangers in this land. In Jerusalem, we're even more of a stranger. And so they said, let's just go on home and we won't be accepted down there. But one of them too said this, though I might not be accepted in Jerusalem, though I might not fit under the laws of Judaism, though I might not again be declared even by the Jewish religion to be clean again and able to enter the sanctuary again, just the same, I want to give thanks. And he turned back and he came to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'd have us declare that if you're here and you're a Gentile, that you're just a Gentile. You're no better than a Samaritan. You're no different than a Samaritan. We are again strangers to the law. The Gentiles, we just read in Romans this past week again that the Gentiles were strangers to the law, not exempt from the law, but strangers to it just the same. And listen, we might be strangers to God. We might not have any place in the law of Jerusalem, the law of Sinai that come down. In fact, some of us might not even have too much understanding of it. But this one thing we know, where once I had leprosy, now I've been healed. And I not only want to give praise to God, I not only want to be thankful that for my healing, I want to be thankful to the healer. Amen. Let me say that again. I should write that down someplace. Wait, I did. I should write that in the margin of my Bible. Because that is the theme here. Not that the others were not thankful, but that there was only one that came back to thank the healer. Listen, it's sometimes we're told to, in everything, give thanks. And sometimes that's challenging, but we can execute that command. And we're told again about the sacrifice of thanksgiving in Hebrews chapter 13, a tremendous Thanksgiving message there about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're told throughout the Psalms that we ought to again have an attitude of thanksgiving in everything and exactly how much thanksgiving. We're told in our hymnal here this morning that we ought to count our blessings, name them one by one, and be a thankful people. We're told in the book of Romans, and I think I might get that in here yet this month, that the first step away from God was that they were not thankful in Romans chapter 1. And so there's a lot in our Bible about being thankful. But here is a parable, a story, an accounting, as it were, of a Samaritan who was a stranger to Judaism and a stranger to the law and a stranger to Jerusalem and a stranger to the temple, who could turn and give his thanks straight to the healer. And that's what we want to do. And as we go through this whole month of Thanksgiving, boy, let's not forget who we're thanking. Yeah, it's good to say praise the Lord, but it's better to say praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to say thank you, God, but it's good to say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good, again, to be a thankful people during these times. But boy, I want to hone our thankfulness just a little tighter today, so that we could give thanks to the healer. And that's what this story is about. It's about the one who was not accepted in the religion of the day, not accepted in the time of the day, not accepted again in the land that he lived in, but he was healed, he was changed. He was brought from death unto life, as it were. And that's what a leprosy is a picture of. A perpetual dying is what leprosy is. Where your skin dies off first and falls away. A perpetual dying was changed to a perpetual living. And that's what we got, praise the Lord. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, you've got a perpetual living and eternal life. Boy, again, let's pay attention that we want to give praise to the healer today. Just give thanks to God, but give thanks to His only begotten Son. He's the one who reached down and touched you. Here, He's the one who spoke the word and gave them the command to go and show themselves to the priest. And so we have this one. Look at the accounting one more time again as I try and belabor this point. It says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, that's our 10th leper in our focus here today, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. I want you to picture this. Where was he? He was still one mountain away. He was still out across the valley on the hill on the other side. And he turned back from his going, and with a loud voice glorified God. You see that? And so there he was on the next mountain over. Here's Jesus yet over here, and he turns and with a loud voice, he glorifies God. And then look how this is worded for us here. He glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. Okay, we got a couple hises there again. We got to keep our pronouns straight. And so it says that he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Notice in that transition, in between the lines, he came from that mountain over here to the very presence of Jesus. And notice he was glorifying God and then he fell at his feet. He was glorifying God and then he fell at his feet. Let me say that again. He was glorifying God and then he fell at God's feet. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and he shall be called the Everlasting Father. He shall be called the Almighty God.
Amen.
When this leper fell, was glorifying God, and he fell at his feet, he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify God. Giving thanks, and the Bible, giving him thanks, giving God thanks, but doing it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this Thanksgiving, let's make sure we don't leave Christ out at all. The world is content that you could just thank God. You could even say that in public. You could even sing about that in a ball game. But boy, again, it don't much care for the name the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's verboten again. Government has tried to ban its use from our prayers anytime you pray in a government. And it's getting rarer and rarer to be even praying in a government situation because they think that has something to do with separation of church and state. Notice again, I remember when I was in the military again, I was always asked to pray. One time I was asked to pray when the chaplain was there. And normally they'd ask the chaplain to pray again or give a benediction or a prayer before a meal again, and so I'd have to go to all the officers' meetings, and again, they would very often ask me to pray, and I prayed a prayer again that wasn't scripted, wasn't read, and afterwards I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And I try to emphasize that, at least get that a little bit louder than everything else I said, and I did that on purpose. Because I knew that it was offensive to our government and to those governed, and I got called on that time and time again. And I said, hey, he is my God. That's who I worship and that's who I pray to. Boy, again, there's a distinction again that they don't like that name. Up in Mexico, they again had a government thing that was put, I thought it was a library, but anyway, they had everyone put bricks in. And you could put any name you want on the brick. And so a lot of people went through and they put the name the Lord Jesus Christ, had it put on a brick in recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put it in there and put it in all these bricks and all of this huge sidewalk that they put in. And boy, the government saw that and said, we can't do that. And they actually did make a law, passed a law through the village in Mexico, New York, this was. And they went through and they had to take out all bricks that had the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on it because of separation of church and state. What a bunch of morons. And so, but listen, that's the government. And listen, we're surrounded by that. They'll tolerate you. And then there's a pluralistic idea that, hey, we can all worship the deity of our choice, as Bill Clinton said during his Thanksgiving proclamation once. But listen, the deity of my choice is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And that's who we worship. Boy, let it be known this year that we're not just thankful to God, we're thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son that bought us and redeemed us and shed His blood for our sins. You can't be too emphatic with that this year. You can't be overemphasis of that. And boy, again, I'd have us recognize here that if we can get in a mumble, well, praise God. We ought to get in a mumble that says, praise God and His only begotten Son who saved me and took me out of a pit and set me on a solid rock. You can't say too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, these, I believe, the other nine went about their business praising God. But there was one of them who praised the healer, praised the Lord Jesus Christ, and came back to his feet. And boy, let's be that. We're only strangers in this world anyway, even as this here was a stranger, and that's what Jesus called him here. Where are the nine? There are not found any that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now, when I say I think they all gave glory to God, there was only one of them that returned to give glory to God. Boy, let's return to giving glory to our Savior and our Lord. And as we again enter into this month of November, I know lots have already started taking a praise a day or a thanksgiving a day again for the whole month and just listing things. And boy, you couldn't out thank God. And we have everything. We have our next breath to thank Him for. By Him all things consist. Boy, again, as we understand that we're praising God, let's make sure that we can do it out loud and that we're praising His only begotten Son. Let's remember the lepers that were healed, and there was only one of them that gave thanks to the healer. We give thanks for the situations that we have. It's easy for us, in fact, to give thanks for good things. And we have a thankful heart. I hope, anyway, that's one thing we have put inside of us as we're born again Christian and dwelt by God, is we have a new ability to give thanks in everything. But boy, there's a difference between just being thankful that I'm not what I used to be, being thankful for all that I have, and giving thanks to the one who got me there. Giving thanks here to the one who healed me, made me new. As we go through Thanksgiving, let's continue in praise of His name, but let's put a little personality and a little title to that. Let's just be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ who redeemed me, gave me everlasting life. Father, how I praise You again and thank You for the account given here in Luke 17:17. Father, as we would again let that touch our lives, I pray again that You'd find here a group of strangers who not only want to praise You for the healing You've given us and be thankful again that we're not what we're used to be, but we want to give glory, we want to give praise, we want to give a thank You to the One who healed us, to Your only begotten Son, whom we worship in this setting. Father, as we would again exalt Your Son's name, as we would walk through this week and as we'd walk through this month, may we do it in thanksgiving to Your only begotten Son, our Redeemer, our Savior, our soon coming King. Father, may You again even change our thankfulness to add a personality to it again, because we know the One who healed us, and we walk hand in hand with that nail-pierced Savior, and we'll praise You now, Father, and thank You and give You again a bold and public thank You, and we love You, and You again touch our week now, and we'll give You the praise in the name of Your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, we pray it. Amen and amen. Let's stand, and what more fitting song to stand with than "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Let's let it ring in our hearts. And let's keep in mind the Savior who saved our soul. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Father, we